But that's what I'm going to be preaching, you know, out of this morning. But I want to hear some of y'all's, I guess, life verses or your favorite verse. And so who's got one? Who's got a life verse? Or Brother Hauser.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There have no temptations taken me, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:13. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who else has got a life verse? I like Brother Nielsen's yesterday. I got to hear it. If he'll please. Come on, Brother Nielsen. Go. Brother Nielsen's over here in this corner. When I heard this one, I was like, ooh, I should maybe change mine. I like this one.
It's Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think that's correct.
Amen. Kind of put him on the spot there. I'll hear about it later. If you need to open it up, I say my quote my life verse all the time, but all of a sudden, sometimes when I'm on the spot, I'm like, man, I don't know how many times I've quoted this by heart. Read it to us. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Amen. Amen. Right here.
Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. 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 Brother Mitchell in the back.
My life verse consists of three. John 27-30. Amen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Amen. I use that in soul winning a lot. Douglas.
I read the Bible, Jesus coming back.
Amen. 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 Anybody else got a life verse? Favorite verse? Not a whole lot of young people, huh? You'll one day it'll hit you when you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden you're like, oh, Lord, wow.
Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
I remember I took that verse and I like carved it into a piece of wood and taken, you know, the wood and shaped it into a heart. And then I put hinges on it so that it would fold over and the bottom would fold over and it'd make this square. And in the bottom it had a picture of me and my wife. I remember, let the peace of God which passeth all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember that was, gave it to my wife for Valentine's Day. She said, is this it? No, I'm just kidding. She did not. She's not here, so don't tell her, y'all. Don't say that. Anybody else? Anyone? Henry? Wait. Let me guess. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen. Anybody else? All right, son, without breaking that, can you turn that off? Or just take it to Brother Gallardo? Actually, just take it to Brother Gallardo. All right, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, I used to have a verse in Psalms, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. But then I find out, I pretty much cry for anything, so, I mean, it just couldn't help. I was like, wow, you know what? What a verse. Maybe I should, you know, think about that. That is a great verse, though. Actually, I love that whole chapter there in Psalms. But Romans chapter 12, Verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I like this whole chapter. I mean, I enjoy this whole chapter. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter here. But that Romans chapter 1 and 2 kind of set the stage for the rest of the chapter for me. So here it says in verse 3, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay it, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy. Fill me with thy spirit, Lord, according to your grace, mercy, and goodness, Lord. I ask this through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now my Bible actually has some headings in there. In the heading of chapter 12, it says Christian life and service. And then in verse from 3 to 8, it says service. And then from verse 9 through 16, it says the Christian and those within. Verse 17 through the rest of the chapter in verse 21, it says the Christian and those without. Now, one of the things that, I mean, I had never seen that, those different headings and things like that. But when I had found this verse and I had seen that, and it just stuck out to me, and it really hit me hard, and it really moved me. And I realized, I said to myself, you know what, that's exactly what I'd like to be. That's exactly what I feel I should do. That's exactly how I think I'm going to make it in the Christian life. Whether in the Christian life for myself, how I should act and how I should live concerning me, and how I should treat others and how I should live towards others. So it says here, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. Now, this is something that Paul being the writer of Romans, God using him as the instrument to pen down these words, but it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. I mean, he was speaking to Christians, but he was also imploring, he was pleading, he was earnestly, desiring and petitioning and appealing to Christians, to the brethren there. Now, this is not something I looked at it, when it hit me, it wasn't something that I thought that he was just flippantly, letting us know, informing us of. I believe that Paul was trying to, God is trying to actually, get us to really take hold of this. Because then, as I said, it goes on and tells us about service. Then it tells us about Christians, our service towards each other, and then our service towards others and on those that are without, that are not Christians, those around us, those that we live around in our scope. Well, guess what? Let me tell you something. When that stuck out to me, I realized that, you know what? This is something important. This is something serious. Now, I'm not saying that there's parts and portions of the Bible that aren't important. You know, all scriptures is given by inspiration to God and is profitable. I mean, okay, I'm not saying that, okay? Understand me. But I believe that when Jesus said that there were more weightier things, that there are some things that actually, I mean, they've got some power. I mean, they really hit hard. I mean, it's all powerful, the Word of God. But this was something that actually really stuck out to me. It really spoke to me because I saw that Paul was pleading and petitioning and appealing to me. Okay? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now that's one thing that when people ask me my name, somebody said it the other day. They asked me, is it Peugeot or is it, you know, I don't really, it doesn't make a big difference to me how you say my name, except unless you're a bill collector and you're calling me and I use that against you and I say, it's actually Peugeot. And you know, now all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry. Now they're real apologetic. But anyways, that's just, anyways, okay. So, but to me, that's not something important that you get my name right. You know, if you say Brother Pig Out or Pig Rot or something like that, I don't like, I can't believe you just did that. I can't. Now, back when I was a kid, that was a big deal. You know, that was big to me. But now, it's not a big deal. But what is a big deal to me? What is important to me? What does carry some weight and some meaning to me is that I'm a brother. Amen. I am a brother. I'm saved. I've been washed in the blood. I've been purchased. And guess what? Because of that, I'm a brother in Christ. Now, a lot of people, they use that word flippantly. I mean, I grew up with a group of guys that we called each other brothers. Hey, brother. What's up, bro? You know, that we did that. But you know what? When I got born again, when I got saved, when I became a part of the family of God, that bro and thing with those fellas, with those friends that I grew up with, I was close to, did not feel the same as this. I realized that God had taken me and placed me in a family. Amen. My Heavenly Father being God and my brothers and sister being those that have been born again. Those that have joined the family through the new birth. Now guess what? That's important to me. So when Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, it was speaking to me. And if you're saved, he's speaking to you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, some of y'all may not have been able to get a good grasp of the incredible, awesome mercies of God. But some of us that have made some mistakes, that have gone through trial and tribulation, and then, I mean, when I say trial and tribulation, self-brought, you know, we brought this on ourselves. And guess what? And you realize, as undeserving, which we all are, I mean, you know, that's the grace of God, is the unmerited favor of God. But I'm talking about the mercies of God, where God should have just said, you know what? You're done. You know, I'm not putting up with that. You're done. That's it. Your breath is gone. Your light, your heartbeat stops. Life, I'm just going to bring you home. For the destruction of the flesh, sometimes how he says, you know, give them over to the destruction of the flesh. The body dies, the soul and spirit goes to be with God. But listen, but you know what? In God's mercy, amen, he's kept me here. Amen. He's allowed me to continue. And that's what then sets up the rest of it. He's allowed me to continue because of his mercy. And why? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now understand, when they were taking the animals in the Old Testament and sacrificing them, taking them to the temple, I don't think those sheep and goats and those, you know, oxen and things, I don't think they were really happy about going. I mean, I'm sure they could hear the bleeding of the sheep or stuff like that. They could hear the animals being slaughtered, and I don't think that they thought this was a great thing going on. They may have had to been forced or persuaded with a cattle prod, whatnot, you know, to get going. Well, guess what? Here, God, here we're told, here we're implored, here we're petitioned. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. We're to do this willingly. We're to do this. You know, God doesn't want to have to force us into this. I mean, we've been given the Holy Spirit, which indwells us, but the Holy Spirit is not a seducing spirit. It doesn't force you into things. You have a will. Now, the truth is, the will that we should desire is the will of God, you know, to accomplish and do his will. But here it tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what? This is something that takes place on a daily basis for me. I have to willingly, daily say, Lord, here am I. I'm yours to be used for your good pleasure. But see, when I realized, I said, wow, Paul is saying here, a living sacrifice. Usually sacrifices were killed. They were slaughtered. They were dead. Yeah. I was like, so does this mean that I'm to die to my own desires and my own will and say, Lord, I'm your sacrifice. What wilt thou have me to do? That's what Paul did on the road to Damascus. That's what he did when he finally, you know, the light shone and the voice was heard, but no man saw other than him. He fell down. I mean, when the Lord spoke to him, what wilt thou have me to do? We're to do this on a daily basis, a living sacrifice. Now, this sacrifice, these things, if you remember, Abraham took Isaac and he took him out there and he placed him upon the altar. I cannot believe this was taking place because Isaac wasn't a child. Now, if I took Levi, you know, I have a little 2-year-old. If I took him, he's going to go where I take him, you know. Now, he may fight it or whatnot, but he's going to go, you know. But this was not a little child like this. Isaac was a young man. I mean, I can imagine trying to drag Henry somewhere he doesn't want to go. Now, he's going to get there whether he's conscious or not. I'm going to get him there. But it would be a wrestling match. I mean, it would be a bit of trouble if I wanted to, you know, keep him conscious and try to get him somewhere and he didn't want to go. Take him down. You know, take him down a notch or two or three or four. But anyways, but listen, Isaac went willingly. And as he lay there, on that altar, I mean, he was kind of like here's the sticks and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. And that's what Jesus did. Remember, Jesus willingly, amen, willingly went. The truth is, he didn't go anywhere he didn't want to go. You know what I mean? I mean, the people, when they were wanting to take him, what did he do? He just passed right through them, and they didn't even know. It's like their eyes were blinded, and they're looking around for him, and he's just, yeah, okay, I'm out of here. You know, I mean, he went where he wanted to go, but he went to the cross. On the cross, they couldn't take his life. He gave it willingly. And the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're supposed to have here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, willingly present your bodies a living sacrifice. Willingly. Now this is where it kind of gets a little bit, you know, when I didn't quite get a hold of it right off. It was easy for me to say, okay, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Now, you know, you're kind of expecting maybe the Lord's going to, you know, well, I'm going to use you here, and I'm going to do this with you, and I want you to do this. But then when all of a sudden you realize that, you know what, those sacrifices in the Old Testament, the priests also partook of the altar. They also partook of the altar. Those sacrifices, they were wholly acceptable, given unto God, but then the priests were able to benefit from them also. You understand? Well, then here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then it says this, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man a measure of faith. You know what? I had to realize that, you know what? My service, what I'm supposed to be doing, is I'm also supposed to benefit and be to the use of God's children, God's people. Preacher says something. You know, it's one thing when God says, God speaks to you and you know, you're smitten. You're like, I mean, I will do, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But it's another thing when the Lord's actually spoken to Brother Perry and says, go ask Brother Peugeot to get his license, his CDL. And then Brother Perry comes to me and says, Brother Peugeot, you need to get your CDL. And I'm like, drive kids? Drive children? my wife doesn't like me to drive our own kids. You know. My wife doesn't even like driving with me. We have two vehicles. We usually drive places because she's, you know, constantly letting me know how I'm driving, you know. I appreciate how she praises my driving, but, you know. But, you know, I was like, I can't see it happening. And so far, as of yet, it's not happening because I can't seem to pass my tests, you know. I have two more tests to take before then I can do the driving test. And right now I'm at the last. You can fail it three times. You can fail one of the tests three times, and then you have to start the whole process all over again. I'm at the last chance on the air brakes. What is it about brakes? I don't understand, but that could be possibly because I've had a lot of accidents where I've rear-ended people. I don't understand brakes. Go, 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 go. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. No. Anyways, but when the Lord speaks to preacher, Brother Block, sometimes it may not be he's speaking to them. They just need you to do something. They ask you to do something. It's amazing to me how preachers and pastors are afraid and worry about asking people to do things. Do you know that the priests didn't worry about going over there to the altar and taking a portion? You know, taking what was supposed to be, this is for the priests. Oh, okay, this is for the priests. This is to be eaten for the priests. They didn't go, oh, what is God going to say about us taking it? Now, when Eli and when Eli's children, Hophni and Phinehas, were doing it wickedly and taking as they ought not have been taking, and saving it and putting it and saying, no, you know what, we're going to have this for later for the priest. It's like, no, they're supposed to cook that and eat that now. You know, that's supposed to be for use now. Then the people began to despise the offerings. And that's what happens a lot of times. That's what happened with Moses. Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Ye take too much. Ye take too much. You know, aren't we all God's children? Miriam and Aaron, couldn't we have somebody else? You know what? Who do you think you are, Moses? Taking too much. Listen, the truth is that the sacrifices were not just for the Lord. The priests were also supposed to have a portion. Now let's bring that back to here, our service, us as Christians, us as children of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, we want to do what God wants us to do. No, the truth is sometimes we don't. You know, when the Lord speaks to you and tells you to go to, you know, deepest, darkest Africa, you kind of, you know, get deaf. What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that again. Like Moses, when he said, cast down the rod, and it turned into a serpent, and then he says, pick it back up, and he goes, Lord, I can't hear you. What was that again? I mean, first it was my tongue that wasn't acting right, and now I seem to not be hearing you. Pick that thing up? It's a serpent now. But, you know, but now, guess what? It's not just the Lord saying, you know, I want you to do this, I want you to. We're supposed to submit and obey those over us. Now, a lot of us have a problem with that. Why? Because, you know what, we fail to forget this in verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Sometimes we think too much of ourselves. We think we're something when we're really, as me and Brother Mike were talking about, he reminded me, what are we again, Brother Pichot? What are we again? And I was like, and I remember I showed it to him out of the, you know, in Psalms. I said, we're nothing. So why shouldn't we, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, you know what? Lord, if I'm to serve your children and your people and serve you and do your will, then you know what? What do you want me to do? I want you to go take out the garbage. Taking out the garbage. I want you, some ladies, oh no, I'm not, I'll change my kid's diaper, but I'm not changing any other diapers. That's that. Now guys, if any of y'all want to work in the nursery, it ain't happening. It's not happening, you know. I can't see how anybody would want to, you know, any of you fellows would want to be in the nursery. I can't even stand changing my own children's diapers. It's absolutely disgusting. I don't think it's cute at all. You know? But you know, it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now, you know what? The world that was then, you know what? We look a whole lot different. You know, we dress differently. We have many different customs, you know. But guess what? It tells us to be not conformed to this world. Does that mean you can't have style? You know, oh, well, if the world all of a sudden says, cut your hair short, keep it above your ears and things like that. No, what? We're supposed to grow our hair out long and be nonconformists, hippies? Well, wait a second. Wasn't there an age that kind of thought that way? You know, oh, yeah, we're not supposed to be conformed. And, you know, what the man, watch the man, the big eye in the sky is watching us. And no. Holy rollers, you know. But listen, be not conformed to this world. This world's mindset, this world's way of thinking, no worth of actual life within the womb. No, this world's thinking that, hey, if it feels good, it's fine. No. Listen, it says, be ye transformed. Do you understand that when I got saved, I got born again, the way I thought had to be changed. I did what I wanted to do. I went where I wanted to go. You can ask my mother. There were months that she thought, oh my God, he's dead. I haven't heard from him. He's got to be dead. This is a teenager acting crazy like that. My whole mindset had to change. I said, okay, well, I'm supposed to be transformed. I'm supposed to become something, you know. People speak of this transformation as maybe a butterfly that goes from a caterpillar to its cocoon and pupa state and then becomes a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. In my case, it's just more of a moth. But how do I get this transformation? How does this take place? By the renewing of your mind. I had to renew my mind. I still have so much garbage and trash and junk in there. The truth is, I'm surprised all of it is in there still. It's like, how is it still in there? How do I keep putting the Word of God and funneling in and sitting there and hearing preaching, but I can't forget something I learned or heard or saw at 10 years old. Why? How is it that that's still there? Why can't I get that wickedness out of my mind? I have to constantly plead and beg the Lord, please, Lord, help me to renew my mind. Wash it clean. You know, somebody spoke of, you know, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Guess what? Or is it law? Is it law or word? Oh, nobody's helping. Okay, so anyways, I'll be looking that up today. So like a sieve, y'all know what a sieve is, right? It's like a screen, basically, and you've got this cup of water, okay? And you've got this cup here, and it's got all this dirt, you know, and you keep funneling this, pouring it over there, and then pouring it back, and you keep going through this sieve, and slowly then clean the sieve, and put the sieve back up there, and then pour it through again, and then take that sieve, and clean that sieve out again, and eventually you slowly take out the impurities, and it gets cleaner, and cleaner, and cleaner, and cleaner. Guess what? Remember the first time I read my Bible, I got all the way through it. I was like, wow, I've read the entire Bible. You know what? There's a lot of Christians that can't say that yet. Hopefully one day they'll be able to say they've read through the entire Bible. You know, and I did it. I didn't do it the hard way like some people do it. They start from Genesis. I just couldn't do that. You know, I had to go and get some things under my belt, you know, win some victories, you know, accomplish some of those big long reads like Jude. You know, I'm saying I'm knocking out Jude. I'm knocking out 3 John and 2 John. Woo! Got those under my belt. Okay, what's another small book? Oh, let's go into the Old Testament. Look at some of the minor prophets. Knock out some of those. Woo! Got those under my belt. After a while, I had enough of those small books under my belt that I was like, I've read a pretty good long way, and not realizing that I haven't even gotten through, like, if I matched it up to the book of Luke, I ain't done it. I'm not that really that far, you know. It's like one gospel. But you know what? Kept doing it. 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 Now, sometimes I realize, you know what? There are some things I've actually forgotten. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want to forget what I've come from and what the Lord saved me from and where the Lord's brought me from, but guess what? Praise God, I have a lot more scripture and renewing of my mind, realizing that, you know what? You are nothing, boy. I've got you for a purpose and a plan. Now I want you to accomplish it and do it. You know, I've got some things I want you to do, whether it be take out garbage, whether it be rake up around the church, clean do some painting. You know what? I need you to tighten up a screw over here. I need you to get up on a church bus. I need you to teach a Sunday school. I need you to get up and teach a lesson and preach a service. I need you, young lady, to work in a nursery. I need you to sit and just be there as another woman teaches the class. Your job is to greet, take names, take row. That's it. That's all you're going to do. For 3, 4, 5, 10 years, that's going to be your job. Well, I think I should be a little bit more. I think I should do more. I think the truth is, I could be used in a better capacity. Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, first, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You know, let's first do that. Lord, what will you have me to do? Here I am. And understand that then you're to be not just for the Lord's use, but guess what? There's some men that we have here, our deacons. They may need, you know, they can't do it all themselves. Truth is, it would scare me to death to see Brother Perry up on a ladder. But did you know that I was told that it was probably maybe 4 years ago, that he'd be up on roofs, like doing roof estimates on a ladder. And I thought, what? How, Brother Perry? Brother Perry should not be on a roof. It may need more repairs after he's been on the roof walking around. I'm just kidding, Brother Perry. But you know what? Listen, there are some of us younger. Okay, there are some of y'all younger. But no, I'm still young. I'm still spry. But I don't even know what that word means. Agile. Yeah. But you know, there are some of us that could do a little bit more and say, Lord, what is it? Some of us don't want to do the jobs that seem menial, that are unseen, unnoticed, unpraised. Because, you know what? Nobody really sees those things. Nobody notices those. Really? I thought the Lord, his eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Please, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that's set apart, sanctified. You've got a purpose, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Now, I used to think there was a separation here. It says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some of you may have heard Brother Heil's message, you know, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I was like, oh, I don't want God's good will. I don't just want his acceptable will. I want God's perfect will. But guess what? That's not what it's saying. That you may prove what is that good. His will is good. That acceptable. God's will is acceptable. Amen. And his perfect will. His will is perfect. His will is all those things, good, acceptable, and perfect. And that's what we want to prove. We want to accomplish that. And if we'll do that, it says you can prove it. It can be tested. And guess what? It will one day when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and the things which you did in your body will pass through the fire. What you built with, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hair, stubble, will pass through the fire. There'll be some loss. You may suffer loss. But guess what? that which is able to pass through the fire, some of that gold, silver, precious stones, it says you'll receive a reward. You know what? Let us present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. I pray that you please do a work in us and through us. Bless this day now, Lord, as I pray. Father, we love you and thank you. Please help us to continue to walk in thy will, Lord, in thy ways. I pray that you please help us to daily place ourselves up on that altar, Lord, as unwilling as we are sometimes, Lord, help us to do it with a willing heart, not grudgingly, Lord, but help us to do thy will with our lives. We love you, thank you, bless in a mighty, powerful way this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.